be saved.
Amen.
You know, I tell you the truth, folks. Might sound, I don't know how it sounds. I don't care how it sounds. I love God. And, you know, when I was a criminal, I was a good criminal. Really. I went all out. You know what's wrong with some Christians? They never have gone out for anything.
Amen.
They never have sold out for anything. Being sold out for God is a responsibility, really. You know what the Bible says about us? That we're debtors.
We
owe God.
Amen.
It ain't like we're doing something, you know, when we serve Him, that's our reasonable service. We're incapable of doing anything that would surpass what He did for us on Calvary's cross. There's no way to judge what He did for us. It's beyond comprehension. You can't explain it. And we're debtors. I want to preach to you this evening about a message I just recently put together. And I was telling my wife about it over the telephone. And she said, "Everybody in the world preached that message." I said, well, I never preached it. So it's new to me, amen? I don't know if it's going to be new to you, but it's the message that God gave me. It's about, if you have your Bibles, go to John 6. It's about that little boy in a basket. Most of you know about that. My wife, you know, she was saved as a young girl, and I didn't meet her until she was a grown woman. She said, "I heard that message 3 or 4 times." I said, "Well, you're going to hear it from me." John 5, verse 13. It's kind of a challenging thing. And I don't know about you, but I'm always challenging myself because I really don't feel as though I'm not giving enough. I'm never satisfied with what I'm doing. I'm never satisfied with the messages that I preach. I'm never satisfied with the degree to which I pray or give my life to God. I'm never, ever satisfied. Now, I'm satisfied with Him. He's done more for me than I certainly can ever do for Him. But I'm never satisfied. This little boy here we're going to talk about in a minute has inspired me to some degree to preach to you about some things that might be beneficial to you, might bring you to another level. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "Not that I have attained, but I follow after," if that by any means he might accomplish a certain thing that he had in his mind. He doesn't say exactly what it is. And I don't exactly know what it is myself that I'm trying, what point I'm trying to get to in my Christian life. But I know I want to be a better Christian today than I was yesterday. And I know that I'm not immutable. In other words, I'm either going up or down. God's immutable. He never changes. But I'm not immutable. So I have to be careful to be always pressing towards the mark for the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that high calling for you might be something. High calling for me might be something else. But it's a mark I can't ever seem to get to.
That's right.
But the idea is I keep pressing in an effort to get there. I was telling somebody just a little while ago, we were talking about sightseeing and things that we want in life. And, you know, I've seen both sides of the lifestyle, and I've seen a river. You've seen one, you've seen them all. I've seen an ocean. I've seen a mountain. I've seen a desert. Seen one, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
I've seen a poor man and a rich man, but I've never seen heaven.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see.
Amen.
I want to see it. It can't happen too soon for me.
Yeah.
I don't care if it happens with a coronary or whatever, happens with the Lord coming back, but it can't happen too soon for me. That's my ambition.
Yeah.
And I'll never be satisfied till I get there. John 6, 5. John chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answering him, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragment that remained, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. When those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that the prophet that should come into the world. Father, I do thank you this evening for the opportunity to expound the words of God, and I thank you for the ability to do it. And I know that it's you that provides, and I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God would meet with us today, and may the teaching of this particular subject be of service to those that are here. And I pray, God, that we get a blessing from it. Maybe we learn some things from it. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, this little boy, his name is not even mentioned. Nobody knows what it is. It's a good thing for, in some ways, had he been mentioned, the sinking Catholics would have made a statue of him and people would be praying to him. But since he doesn't have a name, no one knows who he is except the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's something about this account of the basket and that little boy. The outstanding thing about it is that it's mentioned in all 4 Gospels. I don't believe that the virgin birth was mentioned in all 4 Gospels. We all know about the lad. All we know about him is that he's traveling with more than 5,000 people, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It said it was a great company in verse 5. But some things I observed reading this was that he obviously didn't bake the loaves himself. He's only a little lad, amen?
Yeah.
So that much we know about him. There's the loaves that he has are barley loaves. That's a lesser grain. So I understand the kid to be, he's probably a poor boy, for one thing. He's probably a poor kid. Now, altogether, what he had was not very expensive, even by the standards of that time. Amen?
Amen.
5 loaves and 2 fishes, not much to it. You know what we have here? We have a poor boy looking to make a buck. That's what he's doing. Here's a young boy in 5,000 men, no telling how many women or children, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's not going to eat 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he's not going to, he doesn't intend to give them away. So that boy is there to make money. He's there to make a few bucks. It's important to understand that because of what's going to transpire in a little while. He's trying to scratch out a living for himself. He was probably sent there by a mother, maybe too sick to go herself or too busy trying to scratch out a life for herself as well. Listen, staying alive was a big thing in those days, folks. It ain't like it is today. Verse 6 says that Jesus knew about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Well, if he knew that, he knew the boy. He knew all about that kid. And believe me, he providentially worked this whole thing out in order for him to do what he did. And the kid was unaware of it. Maybe unaware, but I guarantee you there was a spirit that directed that boy to where he was. He wasn't there to worship God or to be taught. He was there to sell what he had, to bring the money home, or used it for his own survival. I'm not sure. But one thing I know for sure, he wasn't there to give that stuff away. He had no idea he was going to be asked to give what he had. I have a little note here. He had no idea he was going to be asked to give what he had like tonight. God's going to ask you to give something. It was his, and he could do what he wanted with it. You remember in Acts 5 when Ananias and Sapphira, God didn't kill them because they didn't give everything. God killed them because they lied. Or he could have, you know what he could have said when they asked him for the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He could have said, no, my mama gave me these things. I'm here to sell them. He'd been in his right to say that. And he could have said, well, I'll give you one and I'll keep one. You know, like Christians always do. They'll give a little bit, you know, but they won't sell out. And if you want to walk with God, I'm going to tell you, you better sell out. You ain't walking with God unless you sell out. Any man that's striving for the mastery is going to have to do it according to the law. And the law is, if you want to walk with him, you're going to have to sell out, because Amos says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And they can't.
Amen.
You might think you are, but you're not. Well, he had no idea he was going to ask to give it all up. And he could have given half of it. It wouldn't have been a bad thing if he'd have said, I'll give you one. But he did a smart thing. You know what? By giving what he had to the Lord. He didn't know it was the Lord. A guy just comes up to him. I don't know if it's Peter or Andrew. Just comes up to him. He probably says, the Lord has need of what you have. And he gave it to him. You know what he thought? He thought God was going to eat it.
Yeah.
He thought Jesus was going to. He had no idea he was going to give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know that's how it is with your life? You give your life to Christ and you think Christ. Listen. God was going to serve 5,000 people whether that boy gave the 5 loaves and 2 fishes or not. By giving 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he did himself a favor. You do yourself a favor if you give everything you got to God. You know, God doesn't need what you have. Do you know that? But you'll be smart to give it to him. You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says about you giving something to God? It's not that. I don't believe Christians really get this, brother. You become a co-laborer. A co-laborer with the affairs of God. The things that God is interested in. You get involved. You become, the Bible says, a co-laborer. A laborer together with God. You and him working together to accomplish his will. I don't think Christians understand that. The degree of what? Yeah, the magnitude it's the magnitude of the privilege to serve God, to be a laborer together with God. It's one thing to witness, okay? Brother, it's one thing to walk up to a person and witness to him, but you know it's another thing to be conscious of the fact that you and God together are working to get something done. God, do you get it? God.
That's good, bro. Yep.
God, you and him working out to get something done, to get his will done, trying your best to be responsible and fulfill an obligation that you have. Listen, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, he owns you.
Amen.
Amen. Good preaching.
But he didn't. He didn't give him half a loaf. He gave it all. And he got the blessing, brother. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what that boy did will live throughout all eternity. He's written in a book of life. Boy, we'll never get that response. We'll never get that because the canon of Scripture is closed. But it sure would be a good thing if you got before God one day and you're going to get before him one day and he can say to you, well, I sure do appreciate what you did for me down there, son. That'd be a nice thing to have him to say here. You know, well done, thy faithful servant. That don't go over too good with me. I don't like that. I like it better when he comes up. Boy, you did a good job up there, man. I tell you, if it wasn't for you helping me and giving to me what you needed to give to me, what I asked you to do, I could have never got that done, son. Man, I like that. I like that. The young lad, listen, for an entire day, that boy held on to what he had. Until one day, until that day, he heard Jesus Christ preach on the kingdom of God. You'll find that in Luke 9:11 in the same context. He had what he had. He didn't sell it. He didn't eat it. The boy, when he heard the preaching, about the kingdom of God, and then they came to him after the preaching, brother. After the preaching, he came to that boy, and the Holy Ghost of God was on that kid, and he didn't care what was done with it. He just gave it. That's what we want tonight. We want the Holy Ghost of God to rest upon us tonight to bring to our attention some things that we have that we're holding on to, and maybe the preaching of God tonight by myself or Brother McGahee or whoever's going to preach after me, the Holy Ghost of God will get hold of our conscious minds and our spirits and move us to say, yes! Amen. I've been holding on to this for a long time. Yeah. And God's been wanting it from me. But I never gave it up. Yeah. But the preaching of the God, preaching of the Word of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not future. It's now. Jesus Christ said the kingdom of God is within you. Yeah. People want to throw that all the way back in the millennium and everything else. And no, it's now. Right. You're in the kingdom of God. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? It's like a fella that's riding down the highway, and there's a carnival. And he sees the carnival, Brother Jim. He said, man, that's nice looking. So what he does is, he goes into the carnival, looking around. Nice. He got in for nothing. Huh? The kingdom of God, you get in for nothing, amen? Amen, brother. Yeah. You're born into that kingdom. You know what's wrong with that fella in that carnival?
That's right.
He doesn't want to come up with anything to get on the ride. Yeah. He doesn't want to spend the money to get the cotton candy or the popcorn. That's what's wrong with Christians. They're in the kingdom of God, but they don't want to pay the price to get what's in the kingdom of God. You better make up your mind who you're going to serve. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye serve, to him you be the servant? Half of the time, Christians are they're serving the devil, Brother Glenn. And serving the devil and don't know it. Yep. You're only serving one or two masters at all times.
Amen.
There ain't no in between, buddy.
Amen.
The question is tonight, what's in your basket? And what are you willing to give? Amen. Are you willing to give any of it or anything at all? Or are you going to give it all? I tell you, we learn a little bit from this little boy. We learn that little as much when God is in it, amen?
Amen?
Little as much. You say, preacher, I don't have much. I'm not much. I'll tell you about two men I know. One of them was a garbage man. And he sold out.
Amen.
And he became a great preacher.
Amen.
A great soul and a lover of souls.
Amen.
You know how you sold out. Tell you about another one. A convict spent 10 years of his life in the roughest prison in the United States of America in the 60s, Angola, Louisiana. Came out one day and fell down in a shower, taking a bath. I give up.
Amen.
No preacher, no sinner's prayer. I came out that shower shouting, I got saved. Just like that, brother. And I so loud. I saw something. You know, I read something in the Bible the other day, and it said that when a man got his eyesight, he saw men as trees. Brother, when I was blind, as the song says, I was blind and I couldn't see. When I got saved, when I got my eyesight, I didn't see men as trees. I saw heaven, and I've been wanting to get there ever since. Let me tell you something. Another thing I learned from this passage, I learned it's going to cost you to serve God.
Yep.
It's always going to cost you. Listen, you want to know the truth? If I had my rathers, Brother Glenn, I'd rather be home. Oh, yeah, my wife and my dog. But I give up my rathers,
yes, sir,
for my God's rathers.
Yes.
It'll cost you. It'll cost you to serve the Lord. It'll cost the best that what you have to give it. The best of what you have. I don't know what it is. And let me tell you a little story about giving and what how the Lord looks at things like that. If the people that clean this church do it with the understanding that they're giving it and doing it as unto the Lord, and they do the best that they can do, and me as a pastor, if I don't give enough time and attention to what I'm supposed to be doing as the Lord, they'll get more crowns in heaven than I will. God's no respecter of person.
Amen.
Just give what you can give. That's all he's asking of you.
Amen. Amen,
you can't be the preacher, but you can be what you can be and be the best at it.
Yeah.
For God's sake, that ain't much to ask. I'll tell you three things that'll cost you if you want to serve God. It'll cost you your time, your talent, and your treasures. It'll cost you your time in prayer if you want to walk with God. Reading the Bible, fellowshipping, walking with God, knowing that God is present in your life. Not just some kind of bathnic energy just floating around that you don't know anything about. No, God's real. He's right here. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know how it's done, but I believe it because God said it. He's here with you, and he's here with him, and he's here with him.
Amen.
I don't know how that works, but I know it works because God said it works.
Amen.
And boy, that's what keeps me safe, brother.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me from sinning. That's what keeps me from going back to the old life, because I know he's right here.
Amen.
And I wouldn't disappoint a friend.
Amen.
I wouldn't do that. I didn't do it as a lost man. I won't do it as a saved man. It'll cost you your time and your talent, whatever your talent might be. Whatever you have, whatever you're good at, give it to God. It'll cost you your time, talent, and treasure. Now, those things don't always mean finances. It means what's important to you. Like Hannah. Pray for a baby. You know what? Gave it to God.
Amen.
Y'all have baby dedications here.
Yeah.
You know why you have baby dedications here? Because you got enough sense to give the best and the thing that means most to you, you give him to God and say, listen, you can take care of him better than I can.
Amen.
And that's why you do it.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it with your own life? For God's sakes.
Amen.
He can do more with your life than you can. You made an absolute mess of it for years.
Right.
By the time you gave it to him, amen?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, sometimes it's an emotional sacrifice. Last year I told that story, but I love this story. And I got to tell it again. It's about two cows. Right, sis? She reminded me tonight. I said, I'll tell that story again. Two cows had two calves. Took the calves away, hooked up the cows. Y'all know the story. The Ark of the Covenant has been captured. They put the Ark on the cart, and they faced the cows towards Israel, Jerusalem. And now you gotta understand something about those two cows. They were called milch kine, milk cows. They had two calves. All right, take those calves. You know what calves are doing? They're crying for their mama. You know what those two cows are doing? And they set them that way. You know what? Normally, what would happen? Normally, without those cows being responsible to the knowledge of God, wanting them to do something, normally, when they turn those cows loose, they go right to the stable where them calves are. Yep. But you know what they say about those two cows? They said they went straight for Jerusalem, lowing in the way. You know what they were doing? They were crying. You know what that is? God, I don't particularly like leaving my kids behind, but I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah,
boy, that's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Sometimes it's a missionary. I remember a story, I don't know how true it is, but Brother Theros, he was called to Greece. His wife didn't particularly want to go to Greece. She had all kind of antique furniture and everything else. Missing. You better give it to God. I'm going to tell you what happened to Mrs. Theros. They went off one day. She didn't want to go because of all the stuff she had. She came home, and guess what happened? God burnt the house down. She didn't have no more antiques. Listen, you better give what you have to God. Because you know what? Whatever you have, and if it's it could be of value to God, eventually in the long run, it's going to go up in smoke. And it won't amount to anything in your life. Listen, whatever you have, give it to God. I would say that boy thought that the bread and fish that was the Lord's, but was going to be the Lord's. You know, when he gave it, he thought it was going to the Lord was going to eat it. He thought that Peter, John, whoever came and got the stuff, he was going to give it to the preacher. And that's how he looked at Jesus Christ. He was the preacher. He didn't know that he was the Son of God. The Holy Ghost had just got on him to do the thing. But I tell you what. When he gave up that, when he gave up those five loaves and two fishes, and boy, God fed 5,000 people with that. That little boy was so happy he gave those five loaves up. Let me tell you, and two years later, when the Lord raises from the dead, he's walking around town telling, I know him, I helped him out. He needed five loaves and two fishes. And I tell you, I'm the one that gave it to him. I bet you that boy did that. Well, let me tell you something. Whatever you give to God, you know what you're doing? You're giving something to the Lord that he's going to give to somebody else. Why? He don't need what you have. But there's somebody out there that needs what you have, and if you'll give it to God, he'll use it for someone else's benefit.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer.
Amen.